Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, February 13th, Pope Francis calls prayer a silent dialogue with God and clears the way for Cardinal John Henry Newman to be made a saint. A conference on the Middle East security situation gets underway in Poland, and an infamous Mexican drug lord is convicted in the United States. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis told the faithful at his general audience today that prayer with God is a silent dialogue that has love at its core and admits no pretense. Lydia O'Kane has the story.
In his ongoing catechesis on the Our Father, Pope Francis told pilgrims gathered in the Paul VI Hall for the general audience on Wednesday that true prayer is made in the intimate depths of a heart visible only to God. It is a silent dialogue, he said, with love at its core. To look at God and to let oneself be looked at by God is to pray.
La radice del dialogo con Dio è un dialogo silenzioso.
The Pope commented that in this way, the Christian does not forget the world, but rather brings its people and its needs into prayer. He continued by saying that the person who prays tells God about the pain of someone he or she met that day. If you don't realise that there's so many people who suffer, the pontiff underlined, then that means that one's heart is withered. Feeling compassion is one of the key verbs of the gospel. Let us ask ourselves, said the Pope, when I pray, do I open myself to the cry of so many people near and far, or do I think of prayer as some kind of anesthesia so you can relax? He stressed that Jesus doesn't want hypocrisy.
No, Gesù non vuole ipocrisia.
True prayer is that which is accomplished in the secret of conscience of the heart, inscrutable, visible only to God. It avoids falsehood. With God, it is impossible to pretend. Before God, he said, tricks have no power.
Davanti a Dio, non c'è trucco.
Pope Francis noted that in the Our Father, there is the absence of the word I. Jesus, he explained, teaches us instead to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. The second half of the prayer then moves from your to our. Give us our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses. This use of the plural, he added, shows us that Christian prayer never asks bread for just one person, but always on behalf of others. There is no room for individualism in dialogue with God, he said. Jesus makes us pray, the Pope emphasized, even for those who apparently do not seek God, because God seeks these people more than anyone else. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Turning now to world news, the United States and Poland started an international conference on the Middle East on Wednesday. As Stefan Boss reports, the event is attended by the U.S. Vice President and the Secretary of State, who also expressed concerns about growing Russian and Chinese influence in Eastern Europe.
Initially, it was billed by U.S. President Donald Trump's administration as an Iran-focused meeting. But organizers have significantly broadened the scope of Poland's Middle East gathering. Many invitees balked at an Iran-centric conference, especially in Europe. The European Union has expressed concern that the United States walked away from the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, and it is still trying to save it, despite the U.S. withdrawal and re-imposition of sanctions. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo acknowledged to reporters that the Middle East conference now includes many other topics.
Our hopes for this ministerial, it's very plain. We laid out the mission statement for this now weeks ago. We're going to gather up to talk about the future of Middle East stability and prosperity. We'll talk about Middle East peace plan. We'll talk about threats from counterterrorism. We'll talk about how these countries can work together. We'll have 60 countries, over 30 foreign ministers there from every continent save for Antarctica. This is a global coalition that is built to deliver on the important mission of reducing the risk that has emanated from the Middle East for far too long.
He refers to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the fight against the Islamic State group Syria, and Yemen. Pompeo arrived in Poland after visiting Hungary and Slovakia, where he expressed concerns about the growing Russian and Chinese influence over energy and telecommunications. He was later joined in Poland by U.S. Vice President Mike Pence. The Vice President was also to visit the former Nazi German death camp of Auschwitz before continuing his four-day trip through Europe. In a broader context, the visit by high-level U.S. officials to Europe is part of the self-declared efforts by the Trump administration to counter the growing Russian and Chinese influence over the continent. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Elsewhere in Europe, Spain's government is teetering on the edge of snap elections after a key budget vote was defeated in Parliament. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez's office says he plans on announcing Friday whether he will call an early election. Catalan separatist lawmakers rejected the government's 2019 budget plan on Wednesday, the only other time a Spanish government lost a budget vote. The socialist coalition was forced to dissolve the parliament and call an election in 1995. Belgian airports cancelled almost all flights on Wednesday as a national strike over pay and working conditions halted activity at ports, hit public transport, and led to factory blockades. The air traffic control body shut Belgian airspace for 24 hours because it said it could not guarantee enough staff would turn up for work. Belgian airspace is at a crucial intersection between major airports in London, Amsterdam, Paris, and Frankfurt, and is among the busiest in Europe. In the United States, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, once the most powerful drug trafficker in the world, is facing life in prison after being convicted of a litany of crimes. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador today called his conviction a lesson that life of crime doesn't bring happiness. James Bleers reports.
Joaquin Shoddy Guzman's been unanimously convicted on all 10 counts in a New York federal court. They include homicide, conspiracy to traffic cocaine and heroin, firearms, possession, organized crime, and money laundering. There was never going to be any other verdict following the 11 weeks trial, and he barely reacted to the guilty verdicts. Since Guzman was extradited to the United States in 2016, homicide rates in Mexico have significantly increased due to power struggles involving vicious, no honor amongst thieves turf wars for sways controlled by Sinaloa drug cartel, which traffics narcotics to more than 40 countries around the world. Guzman bribed his way out of one prison, being wheeled out in a laundry basket, and his henchmen tunneled more than a kilometer into his maximum security prison for his second jailbreak. Securely behind bars in the United States, its supermax system presents a more daunting and harsher regime of which he'll be part for the rest of his natural life. For Vatican News, James Moves reporting.
In Nigeria, at least 7 people died during a stampede at a rally on Tuesday as demonstrators expressed support for President Muhammadu Buhari. The incident happened at an event in the southern city of Port Harcourt. Voters in Nigeria will go to the polls on Saturday. In Liberia, the bodies of 5 people have been recovered from a collapsed gold mine in the northeast of the country. Local officials say another 35 people are still buried in the illicit pit mine in Nimba County. The search for the dead and for any survivors is being carried out by miners digging with their bare hands. The Australian government said Wednesday it would reopen a shuttered island detention camp in anticipation of a new wave of asylum seekers arriving by boat. The decision comes after Parliament passed legislation giving sick asylum seekers easier access to mainland hospitals. The Christmas Island immigration detention camp was a favorite target of people smugglers. They often brought asylum seekers from Asia, Africa, and the Middle East in rickety boats from Indonesian ports before the trade virtually stopped in recent years. Pope Francis travels on Thursday to the headquarters of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization in Rome to speak at an international conference. The FAO says around 400,000 people die every year as a result of contaminated food. David Massey from the FAO explains why food safety is so important.
Food safety is about following very, very simple rules to make sure that you don't catch bacteria or viruses or parasites or, again, going back to my own country, the UK, something from mad cow disease. I would draw a distinction from developed countries and developing countries. We take absolutely for granted that our supermarkets, our food suppliers, the shop round the corner, your family, and ultimately, I suppose, your government is ensuring that food is safe. And there are incredible systems in place to make sure that, of course, everything you do eat, that it is safe. But if you are living in a place with poor sanitation, where you are actually food insecure, you don't actually have enough to eat, then you can't make such good choices.
Pope Francis today cleared the way for the renowned English Cardinal John Henry Newman to be canonized a saint. On Wednesday, he authorized the Congregation for the Causes of Saints to issue a decree attributing a miracle to the cardinal's intercession. Born in 1801, Newman was beatified by Pope Benedict XVI in 2010. He had been ordained as a priest in the Church of England but converted to Catholicism in 1845. He was later made a cardinal, and after he died at the age of 89, more than 15,000 people lined the streets for his funeral. Monsignor Roderick Strange, a Newman scholar and author of a book entitled John Henry Newman, A Mind Alive, spoke to Veronica Scaresbrick about the cardinal, whom he describes as one of the most significant figures of the 19th century.
It was one of the things which could be valuable about Newman being beatified would be that he would be an example to people who struggle, whose lives are a bit complicated, a bit messy at times. And that's all right. You know, it's really the way we handle the mess rather than having everything perfect all the while.
Getting on to the scholarly side of things, on the cover of your book, I read his personality remains elusive. What does that mean?
It's a way of referring to the complexity of the personality. You know, somebody who was in many ways quite solitary, very happy in his own company, and yet also a man who had a great capacity for friendship, got on well with all sorts of different people. There's a book written by a friend of mine, Joyce Sugg, which is really based on the letters that Newman wrote to a whole range of women friends, rather aristocratic ladies, ordinary women, his sisters, some nuns, a whole range of people. Great capacity for friendship, for engaging with people.
Yeah, he's best known as a scholar, really, isn't he?
That's what people remember, or people often associate him with. But one of the things that I think is interesting about Newman is the way in which the scholarship was always what he called occasional, not in the sense that he just did it from time to time, but in the sense that it was provoked by, prompted by particular occasions, particular needs. So there was always something very, very practical, very immediately pastoral about what he was concerned with. He had this saying, which I love, about not wanting to touch people's minds without moving their hearts.
That was Newman scholar Monsignor Roderick Strange speaking there to Veronica Scaresbrick. And finally, Wednesday marks World Radio Day. The observance comes just one day after Vatican Radio celebrated 88 years since its inauguration in 1931 to bring the voice of the Pope to the world. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres released a brief message to celebrate the value of radio.
Radio is a powerful tool. Even in today's world of digital communications, radio reaches more people than any other media platform. It conveys vital information and raises awareness on important issues. And it is a personal, interactive platform where people can air their views, concerns, and grievances. Radio can create a community. For the United Nations, especially our peacekeeping operations, radio is a vital way of informing, reuniting, and empowering people affected by war. On this World Radio Day, let us recognize the power of radio to promote dialogue, tolerance, and peace.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News, brought to you by Vatican Radio. Many thanks go to our sound engineer in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.